Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Veterans in Ag podcast, brought to you by AGD Consulting. I'm your host, Mike DeSop, and here we explore the stories and insights from the military veteran and supporter communities who are leading the way for vets in agribusiness, ag tech, and agripreneurship. We swap stories, talk ag, and show how the grassroots nature of the ag community can be a natural fit for the military veteran.
Quote, the stress, the resources, the environment, that's all going to come and go, but you have the capability to be successful. This quote is from our guest this week when he was describing his life-changing experiences with the U.S. Army Special Forces in Syria and how that gave him the final boost of confidence he needed to jump into agriculture full-time. Bryce Myers is a soon-to-retire U.S. Army 5th Group Special Forces soldier turned rancher. He was recently appointed to the Veteran Outreach Coordinator for an Ag Vets grant awarded to the state of Tennessee. In this capacity, he's responsible for assisting veterans with agricultural opportunities, multi-day workshops, and helping them find resources to start their own farms or agribusinesses. On their family farm outside of Nashville, they primarily bale hay and raise feeder pigs, goats, and a variety of different poultry species. Our conversation picks up with Bryce talking about a program he participated in during his military transition called the Honor Foundation, and why he realized the veteran capital space wasn't where he wanted to be long term.
It's a non-for-profit, so they started, and you know, I don't know how many campuses they have now, but they started with one campus, with one community, and quickly found that, hey, this applies to basically any special operations soldier. Let's give them the opportunity, and they've expanded across the country. And then they also have, for those that don't have a base locally that they could go to, I was with Fort Campbell because I was with Fifth Special Forces Group. So that's, I was able to do one locally and in person, but they also have online classes too, a remote program. Awesome.
You mentioned two things that you were interested in with that group, right? One was ag, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. The other was sort of venture capital and finance investing. What happened with that track, and why was or wasn't it as interesting, or what you thought it may be?
Yeah, so it was definitely interesting, but really what got me to that point wasn't necessarily from my own like research and everything. There is with networking with different individuals, and basically when I would have these conversations, instead of telling them, you know, like, hey, I specifically want this job in this industry, I looked for any type of advice and mentorship that I could get of like, hey, these are the things I'm interested in. I'm interested in, you know, working with a small team. I'm interested in doing a job that varies, a job that can be exciting and stressful. I mean, that's the environment that I came from, right? Like, you wear many different hats, you have a lot of different responsibilities, and varying level of responsibilities at any given time, kind of thing. And so through that, and through having discussions with these individuals, you know, eventually someone was like, well, hey, you know, maybe this might be a good fit for you. Maybe this, you know, might be what you're looking for. And then through that, I kind of realized that, you know, instead of working one of these in these industries, I wanted to do something kind of on my own and independent. And so then that fed directly into farm.
Is that where the link or the interest in ag came from? Was this sort of like desire to sort of match these two environments, or was there some other background here?
So there's definitely other background. So my family on both sides are farmers in Indiana. They came from Illinois, but eventually they settled in Indiana. And there's still family farms on both sides. And actually that was my dad's first career out of college. He went to Purdue University for ag. Actually, we have, I don't know, over 13, 14 individuals from our family that graduated from Purdue. Most of them are ag-related, and or a good portion are. Even one of my grandpas farmed for Purdue. But anyway, so that we have this history there. My dad left farming when I was very young, like around 5 or 6. So it just became an experience. I was always visit the farm, and that was always a place of kind of solace and kind of wonder of just like everything, because it was different than my lifestyle, right? And so that was always something that I would always look forward to, and just played a big part of my childhood. And eventually, whenever I after I graduated high school, I ended up joining the service because, you know, I didn't have any personal experience with farming. And then here I am decades later, finally an opportunity came up, and actually it was through the Honor Foundation, because they helped me work through one of the first introductions that we did. You had to tell something interesting. And I said, well, I'm starting a farm and I have goats. And I kind of meant it as a joke, you know, like, you know, that's, you know, in the 2020s, right? No one's starting a farm right now, kind of thing. And being in military, so far removed from anything ag related or seen like that. But through the process that they had us kind of develop of, you know, truly what we're looking for, as far not a specific job, but what do we want to get out of our next career? What do we want to contribute to? What do we want to be a part of? What are our passions? What can we offer? And through that, every time I came back to something, it was ag related. And then another tell that I found, and it took me a while to realize it. You know, I would talk to people about my farm, and I would get so many questions and so much follow-up and everything. And initially I was like, man, people are just really interested in goats. Maybe there's something here. And then took me a while to realize, like, no, they're interested because I'm passionate about it. Because it came naturally for me to talk about farming, to talk about agriculture, because I'm just, you know, yes, I do have a history of it in my family. I don't necessarily have a lot of experience in it, personal experience, but it's something that I was very passionate about. And so then I started to give a little bit more attention to it. And one of the amazing parts of, you know, the Honor Foundation was the networking piece. So I was going through this transition process with not only like-minded individuals, but they're trying to find their way, you know, what is life after the military like? I remember one of the classes, one of the nights, one of the individuals stood up and was like, you know what? I want to write a book. And to me, like, that just hit me right there. Is like, okay, yep, someone already said something crazy. You know, the rest of this needs to be focused on business. You know, you need to find that management job. You're so valuable. You have so many skill sets. But finally, it took that one person to say something like, no, this is what I want to do. And it just hit me as like, yep. I know it. I want a farm. That's what I want to do. For being honest.
did you made it seem like you had the farm as you were transitioning out. Is that right?
So I did. So I was going through that. So essentially, you know, I had family move back close. We want to move closer to them. We found this property. First time we stepped on it, fell in love. Like, oh my gosh, we have to make this work.
But and I knew this is outside of Nashville, right?
This is outside of Nashville. Okay. This is in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. Okay. So found this property. And then as soon as we did, in my mind, it was, well, you know, we need this property to pay for itself. Like that was my goal. How can I make this happen? And then, you know, you mix that in with going through the transition process and trying to find the next career. And with that, I was like, well, okay, let's see if there's any meat on the bones here. Let's start developing kind of like a strategy, you know, business idea here. And then I started reaching out to like UT Ag Extension. They're really big in Tennessee, and, you know, had individuals come out to my farm, you know, help me with kind of, well, what should I be doing? What should I not be doing? And that led me to develop a business plan and kind of get my financials together and, you know, all my projections. And next thing you know, I had a farm that I just had to action, right? And then once I came to the realization, it's like, hey, I remember talking to my wife several times of like, hey, I really think I can make this work. I really think I can make this work. And eventually we said, like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to start a farm. And you know, this was meat goats. That's what I just knew I was gonna do. I can tell you that I've not been, extremely successful with raising goats, especially when looking at marketing and selling. But through that process, I actually found a market of producing hay. And that's kind of where my farm has led me now that now I'm into hay production.
Okay, this kind of decision point comes up regularly in some of these conversations, and I'm really curious how you guys went about it. The sort of predominant schools of thought for the transitioning veteran as they come out and they want to get into farming in particular are buy, like right out of the gate, buy, right? Or manage somebody else's or lease short term or intern or something like that. The struggle is that if for those who want to buy, they can't always afford it, right? Or they don't have a farm that was gifted to them or that they inherited through, previous relatives. So when you guys decided and you put all the plans together and you decided this is a route that I want to go, how did you guys kind of go about the acquisition and financing part of that?
So the financing part, I wish I could tell you that I just have the golden ticket as far as like, oh, this is absolutely how you need to do. We were able to find a lender that was willing to work with us, and that's really what it took is finding the right lender that would actually like help us go above and beyond and try to make our dream come true. That's personally what it felt like. You can say what about the conversation or anything, but that's personally what it felt like. That it's like, okay, you guys really want to do this, and we're like, yes, we're all in. Tell us what we need to do,
Okay.
we'll make it work.
Was it like an ag specific lender, like an ag credit or a farm credit or?
No, it wasn't. And sadly, I didn't know enough about those lenders to even really pursue those. It's not that they weren't available to me. I mean, as you know, there are a lot of resources in ag. But unless you're, involved in it and you make it part of your daily life, it's not always the most apparent that they're out there for.
Yeah. No, it's a good point though. And I always like to sort of get people's perspective on how they've made that portion of their agricultural career, if it does include farming, how they made that work. So I appreciate you sharing the context there. You mentioned this early passion for agriculture from both sides of your family, and this at the farm did leave your family when you were young, but it was always this place that you kind of came back to. You mentioned from that point going into the service, right? Where did that desire to join the service come from, and why did you settle on the army?
Yeah, so oddly enough, I started in the Army Reserves, and essentially it was like one of those things, classic military person story of like, well, I was told that I need to go to college, started college. I didn't enjoy college in the least, and next thing it's like, well, what do I do besides college? And so military, I don't come from a military family, don't come from a military background, so that was never in my mind. That was never really like an option. But it was always something of like, I think I can do that. I don't know that, that's what serious people, that's what, that's what real men and women do. Not people like me, but that's what real people do, kind of thing. So it was always something that was interesting to me. And then eventually I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna send out requests for information and just kind of see what happens. And out of them, the Army Reserves was the only one that contacted me back, like in a short period.
Oh
And then they
man.
said, yeah, I know.
Come
And
on, Marine Corps.
I had no idea what I was doing or what was going on. So then talked to the recruiter and they guided me along and I joined them. And here I am in April will be 19 years I've been in the world.
Describe for us what you do and or what you did to the extent that you can.
Yeah, great. So, like I said, I joined the Army Reserves in 2006. I was a human intelligence collector. I deployed to Iraq with them, came back, realized I loved the Army even more than what I thought I would. And it just left me with, like, oh, I want to do more. I want to do more. So I went active duty in 2010. I was in the infantry for a while down in Texas with 3rd Cavalry Regiment. And then it was like, okay, I came to a point of kind of deciding of, am I going to get in or stay out? And I listed out some goals that I wanted. I want to get a college degree. I want to deploy some more. And I want to learn a language. And that led me to Special Forces. Next thing you know, it's like, well, this once again, like, this is too tough. This is too challenging for me, but heck, I'll try it. I'll see if I can do it, kind of thing. So then went to assessment selection. I passed, went to the Q course, I was able to graduate. And then I found myself at, I fit Special Forces Group as a Special Forces Engineer Sergeant. I deployed with them 3 times. To the Middle East, to Syria and Jordan, and then I was able to reclass to a medic. So I changed my job to Special Forces medic, medical sergeant. Did that for a couple more years, and then that's when we decided to make the transition of like, okay, this like love the job, love the people, absolutely love it. But it takes a toll on an individual, and more importantly, it takes a toll on family. I mean, I was gone all the time, everything. I have two young kids, and we started looking for stability. All this came together. Then we found this property, thought about farming, and then next thing you know, here it is. That led to summer of 2023, finally making the decision. Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to establish our roots. And we're gonna do it by setting up a farm, and it seemed crazy at the time, and then it just became more and more real. The more planning we did, and the more preparation we did, and then that led to me transitioning out. I'm still part of the Tennessee National Guard, just because I wasn't quite ready to completely separate from the service. And so I'm still serving in that capacity, and then trying to make farming a real thing.
I mean, if you're at 19 years at this point, you'll probably just finish out retirement with the National Guard, assuming things
Absolutely.
right. See, this is really interesting to me. You mentioned a start in human intelligence, which is a fascinating kind of subject in and of itself. I didn't even know these folks existed until I was a company XO in Afghanistan, and we had these guys come in, and they were talking to us sort of about what they were doing, and I was like, wait a minute, what? You guys are doing what? Anyway, so human intel to infantry to special forces to medic, right? I mean, this is a broad range of interests and specializations and skill sets. And so I'm really interested in your perspective on this. I like to sometimes ask guests if they have a story in particular or an experience. Given where you've deployed and the breadth of the things that you've been able to do, is there one in particular that stands out to you, good or bad, where you've learned or latched on to something that still holds fast to you today?
Oh man, I have a couple different stories, but I will say that my biggest trip or my biggest experience was one of my deployments. I got attached to another country's special operations and in Syria, and I was able to be part of the last push for carrying out ISIS in southern Syria, in eastern southern Syria. And that experience was it was amazing. I mean, it's one of those things that it's one of the things that I, you know, I'm glad that you're having veterans on and talking about is kind of those hard experiences that not only do we love to have, but they do leave a lasting impact on people, good and bad. You know, there's stress that comes with that. There's definitely a burden, there's sacrifice that happens. But I am so grateful for that experience that I got to have with part of my team and then the individuals that I work with. And the big impact that I had on me was once I completed that, like talk about check the block as far as like, okay, I'm a real soldier. You know, I felt like I was a real Green Beret that, you know, I got to conduct, you know, those type of operations in that type of environment. And you know, I got to prove myself. I'm not gonna say that I'm the most successful, and I, you know, I got to work with some amazing individuals that all I got to say is I'm so glad that they're on our side. Like just brilliant people, physically capable, very dedicated. But I got to work in that environment, and that's what kind of set me down the path of basically if I want to try it, like I can be successful, kind of attitude and that kind of mindset. One thing that I'm very grateful for Special Forces for teaching me is like, hey, you know, the stress, the resources, the environment, yeah, that's all gonna come, it's gonna go, but you have that capability to be successful. It takes a lot of work, takes a lot of effort. You're not gonna do it on your own, never. And so you take some of those mindsets and that experience, and honestly, that's one of the reasons why I love about ACT because it incorporates all those things. You know, you mentioned before, like, hey, you know, you have all these different or skill sets, or you've done all these different things, and so yeah, to me, like, that's a natural flow then to go into agriculture, and you have to be able to do this thing. You have to be able to talk to people. You have to be able to network. You have to be resilient. You have to be physically capable. You have to, you know, if you're dealing with animals, you have to have a base level of medical knowledge. You might not think that you do, but you do have to, unless you want to pay for a vet for everything, which good luck if you can do that, especially when starting off. But so all those different things just kind of fed into building not only my confidence, but I feel like my resiliency to be able to start something.
Those were exactly the two dots that I was thinking you might connect, which was after this formidable experience in southern Syria with the folks you were working with and the apparent successes that you guys had, that was the sort of final catalyst you needed to tell yourself, yeah, if I can do that, then I can do this, right? Or at least I can try, right?
Right, exactly.
Man, I mean, I'm not sure how much you can say about this, but like to the extent that you can, what was that like in that country with that sort of enemy? How different was it than what you were facing in Iraq?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's one of those things I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I definitely appreciate it now, and I see it kind of play out some of the after effects. And I, you know, I don't necessarily need to go into detail about PTSD or how that affects me, but I will say just especially for the other veterans out there that you know, you might not realize it, but you're surviving. I mean, it's a completely shift in mindset versus like of thriving, and I have, you know, all these things at my fingertips to, you know, there's points when it literally just feels like you're surviving through day to day. You're completely reliant and because you truly rely on them and they truly rely on you. And so that was, that was just a very, very humbling experience. And I know that those words don't necessarily do it justice.
Yeah.
For it, but it is a humbling experience, and it in my personal experience kind of changed the way, honestly, that I see and, you know, interact with the world. And now I see that kind of play out, and, you know, on my farm, that like I am personally and deeply invested in, you know, in my lifestyle, because now, you know, luckily, I'm not at a point where I have to worry. You know, I don't have those same concerns as far as necessarily worrying about surviving or combat related things. But I do have, I still do have these individuals. It feels like individuals. You know, my goats, my pigs, my chickens that are relying on me. I get to take care of them. I get to provide for them. I get to see them flourish. I get to see them grow. Get to see them expand. And that's something that I feel like now, as I, you know, transitioning out, I don't have to worry about the war and the side effects of war, the things that come with it. Now I get to focus on growth and involvement and being part of my community. And so it makes me extremely grateful for those experiences now that I.
It's such a good point, and I'm hearing you just sort of describe how much that means to you, because you've had to fight for that for such a long period of time and in places with people that most of us have not, right? At least in that particular part. But I'm hearing this passion in your voice with respect to grabbing on to what you have now and how significant it is to you because of those past experiences. And I think that can come in a lot of different professions for transitioning veterans. But just bias here, right? That with a family farm like what you've got, where everybody's involved, and this is beyond a livelihood for you. This is a way of life. It's both, right? And right. That's something that doesn't, you don't let go of easily, right? And it's just, you're right. It's hard to put into words how much that means and how much that matters without kind of some of the prior context to it, but we can try, you know?
Right. Well, and the thing is, like, the partly why I want to share that is not to get into necessarily like, oh, let's focus on the sacrifice, or let's focus on that as far as, you know, price much. Let's, you know, that's not what I'm concerned with, is that, you know, I hope that there's other veterans out there that are looking for what they're going to do next, and they're trying to find their spot or their role or how they fit into their community. And to me, you know, agriculture is a no brainer. I mean, it's a lot of the same characteristics that you have to have on military. You know, like I talked about being resilient. You have to be a self starter. You have to be motivated. You have to be driven. You have to be dedicated. You have to. It's just not. But then also, like, you got to be involved in your community. I mean, just like, you know, the military is extremely involved in my team and my company and my battalion and my group. You know, I was very involved with that. Now I'm getting very involved in my community. You know, I've been very fortunate that I've been able to, I don't want to say necessarily outright replace, but now I've found, I've kind of filled what was that void, you know, going through the transition process that, hey, I'm leaving this, I'm moving past it. I can't be out of it. Like, I mean, not serving.
I do want to ask you about, so we talked a little bit about your family farm, but you're doing also something very interesting with a grant that you recently received. Can you talk about that program? Can you talk about that grant and what it is you guys are trying to do with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you've heard me talk about, you know, my experience with ag and how I, you know, want to be involved. And then also, you know, I left the community as far as, you know, serving on active duty and such. So that's why I knew that I wanted to be involved, you know, help other veterans if I can, you know, get into ag. And then it's like one of those things that, you know, once you start working, and I definitely feel like once you start working your passion and you start, you know, that process of trying to get back and get involved, the opportunities come up. And this is one opportunity that came up of that Tennessee got awarded Ag Vets Grant, which, you know, the Ag Vets Grant is looking at getting hands-on immersive experience for veterans. In a nutshell, that's what it is. Obviously, there's going to be a little bit more, but that's what it is. So Tennessee recently got awarded it this last year, and we just started in January. And the whole goal and focus on it is to get more veterans involved into agriculture. I mean, Tennessee has over 400,000 veterans, and we have, you know, one of the largest military bases associated with it, Fort Campbell. So we have the population. And we have veterans that are interested in ag. So what we're doing with the Ag Vault grant is that, you know, we want to assist those veterans. As you know, there's a lot of information, there's a lot of resources out there. It's not always the easiest to find or get a hold of. So part of it is that, you know, being the conduit to help those, you know, veterans get to those resources, talking about, you know, business planning, talking about the different government agencies that offer support, whether it's for, you know, conservation or training. And also we provide scholarships to veterans, you know, looking at Tennessee has, you know, UT Ag Extension, also the TSU Extension has a lot of educational programs, from anywhere from beginning farmers or new farmers academy to master programs, whether I'm beekeeping, horticulture, row crops. And so we want to help, you know, fund scholarship opportunities for veterans that attend those, because some of those programs also feed into Tennessee Agriculture Enhancement Program, TEOEP, which can open up state funding that they can bring to their farm, you know, cost share. So we want to provide, you know, provide experiences for that. And also part of the immersive program is host, you know, one or two day workshops. You know, we're going to start here in close to Campbell. That's our goal for the first one. But then also, you know, we're looking at expanding out to the different region for East and West region, just Middle Tennessee. And then also something that's very exciting is finding farms that can be mentors for veterans to get into farming. And we're also looking at expanding that into different industries, whether government or commercial, you know, in the agribusiness realm, but finding internships, you know, geared towards the transitioning service member that wants to get more experience in the ag industry. And then, you know, with the goal of helping them get more involved. You know, it doesn't have to be them starting their own farm. They could work for, you know, a commercial producer or work in an ag-related government organization. But we want to help them find their place, find their niche, find their, you know, the resources that they need so they can be successful in that industry. Because I imagine that there's a lot of veterans just like me that's like, man, yeah, ag sounds really interesting, but I can't do that. Like, that's not, you know, like, I don't have a family farm. I don't have this. And it's like, well, actually, there is a lot. I mean, even like the people that you've had on with, you know, several podcasts that I've listened to, that when you look at these new techniques that people are getting into with agriculture, it's like, hey, you don't need 1,000 acres and you don't need a, you know, $300,000 or $500,000 piece of equipment to be able to farm. You can farm on 5 acres. You can farm on 10 acres. You can farm on 15. You know, you can do it to scale. I mean, yes, but, you know, you just have to really understand what you're doing, how you're doing it, and kind of what the results you're going for. Those are the things we want to help them.
You know,
we want to help them get them.
Are you guys ready to receive veterans right now, applications?
So we are ready to receive applications. They can reach out. I can send you the email address. I mean, it's info@agvolve.com. I can send that to you if you want. And they can reach out, you know, we'll then take some information from them and then we'll, you know, help push them in the right direction. I mean, my job specifically with the grant is veteran outreach program coordinator. So that's my role. I'll be one of the people that they'll be interacting with. But then we also have a mentorship program coordinator, Charlie Jordan, which, you know, I know you met him before. Yep. Great, great guy. Very involved in the veteran community. I can't even speak to everything that he's doing, but he's the one that helps establish, you know, the mentorship farms and then also linking the veterans so they can do internships on those farms. Right now we have 8, you know, which just starting, we have 8 already that we're ready to get veterans and you know, internships, you know, on their farms. And
eight,
we're looking to
eight
expand.
Applicants? Eight applicants
no,
or eight
farms.
Farms? 8 farms. Okay. So they've said, look, we'll make our farms available for these 1 or 2 day workshops, et cetera.
No, not just that, but the for the internship. So, I mean, it's these transition service members, they're through the career skills program, they're able to do an internship at a place of business during their last few months in service, you know, as long as command approves and and everything works out. But they're able to do that, so that way they're still able to get you know, paid and have their, you know, have all their benefits,
right,
healthcare and everything like that. But then they're also able to get hands-on experience to help lead them, you know, to be successful for the next step.
Got it.
So they can service.
Right. So these farms have said, we will commit to this program for a number of months to walk through this internship based on the parameters of the Career Bridge program.
Right. And the thing is, like, every farm is different. There's not a one size fits all. So, like, if, you know, even when looking at, that's one of the things that we intake information for, is that, you know, if you're interested in being a mentorship farm, because you know, that I feel like the biggest thing I hear is like, well, our farm can't really do that because we can't really provide it. It's like, well, okay. You know, it doesn't have to be 365, 12 months a year. Maybe it's just one season that you would be available. I mean, for example, like, you know, I do hay. So the winter months is probably not the best time for me to host an intern on my farm. But coming into season, then that's something that we can go over. Okay, well, you know, this is how you take care of equipment. This is how you, you know, plan your time accordingly. This is how you interact with your clients. This is how you take care of them. You know, these are the financials that you need to be concerned with and the projection that you have. And it goes into marketing. So those are the kind of experience that we help the mentorship farm also with, being able to provide those experiences. It's not just, hey, you know, we'll host someone. Okay, good luck. No, we help guide those mentorship farms of, you know, what the veteran needs to get out of the experience, what's kind of best for them, and how that can best suit the veteran. And then, you know, every chance we get, we want to link that veteran with the farm that they're interested in, you know, enterprise that they're interested in, whether that's beef or, you know, row crops or honey or, you know, agritourism. Obviously, that's a big one.
So, I mean, you're getting, first of all, it's only the state of Tennessee, right? This program,
right,
is.
Yes, this grant, Tennessee got awarded it. And so it's for veterans within Tennessee.
And so you're getting all sorts of inquiries from veterans, I would suspect, that are interested in hay production or cattle production or vegetable production or cotton. And so, I mean, because you're getting, it sounds like, such a wide swath of interest, are you fielding each one of those and trying to find, for lack of a better word, a match to that interest through educational opportunities or mentor farms or?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the emails we got the other day was, hey, I'm a veteran. You know, this was kind of my service. I'm interested in agriculture. All they said was small to medium scale, which can mean, you know, a variety of different things.
Yeah.
And I don't have any prior experience. Great. Cool. Let's get started. Let's have that conversation. You know, let me help you get in contact with your local ag extension agent, with your, you know, with the farm service agency. But let me get contact with, you know, help you get in contact with people that can help, you know, help you guide you along with that business planning part of what kind of like what you talked to. You know, does that mean you need to buy a farm? Does that mean that you just need to look at leasing? Do you need experience on a farm before you even, you know, go that down that route of, you know, investing your own capital kind of thing? I mean, that's where we want to help. It's not, you know, we don't need someone to have a finished business plan and that family farm and they've already been set up. Yeah, we can help those individuals too, but it doesn't matter about the stage that you're at. You know, like, reach out. Let's see how we can help.
Yeah, this is really interesting because you don't usually hear or see these programs as so broad,
mm-hmm.
right? And that, and further, that the staff or the cadre of those programs is willing to walk that interested party or veteran all the way through that process. Those are two really unique aspects, I think, of what you're describing, is that the breadth of what's available and then the willingness to guide them through that process on an individualized basis, right? I mean, because no two of these inquiries, I can imagine, are the same.
Right. And I mean, that's a part of it that I love, right? Because then that's just more that I get introduced to and I get to help them find out. I mean, you can tell by the different jobs I have and different things I've done that I'm, you know, very inquisitive. I like to learn. I like to do different things. And so the more that I can help those individuals, like it's a fun process. It's a fun process finding those. And then the thing is, it's very neat to see that, like, you know, UT Ag Extension, for example, I can't say enough about them, but the wealth of knowledge that they have and the years of experience and like, you know, research that they have behind them that's accessible, but, you know, maybe just as a new person in the industry, just don't quite understand it, don't know how to access that. And then there's other groups that we work with, like AgriBuild, which we can help individuals with disabilities either get into farming or improve their operations at farm. And so it's linking individuals with that. So, I mean, that's where it does, you know, we don't want that veteran to feel like, well, you know, yeah, I'm interested, but I can't do it. It's like, well, let's have that conversation.
Can they tailor their inquiry to you guys in such a way that they, I mean, can they tailor their inquiry such that it's more useful to you guys? If someone's listening, more detail is the better. Like, I mean, what sort of things would you need to see in that inquiry such that you can begin to guide them in the right direction?
Well, I'll go ahead and tell them that our intake form, I mean, our team definitely spent, you know, quite a bit of time on that to help, you know, as far as, help guide us as quick as possible. I'll just say, when, you know, some of the things that we're looking for the intake, or some of the things that are on the intake form of, like, you know, what industries are you interested in? You know, are you interested in government, commercial, farm? What areas are you looking at conducting your business, or where do you plan on living, like settling, kind of thing? And then So the different information like that. Basically, what my point is that the intake form pretty much lays it out that can really help guide us as far as to have that initial conversation. So that what that way, by the time we have that initial conversation, we already have an idea of what they're looking for. For anyone that's, you know, that's filling out that form, don't feel like you need to have a set answer for everything. You know, when we asked about, you know, where are you at in the process for starting your fund? If that means that you've already secured funding and that you have a business plan, you have this, great, put that down. If it means that, hey, I don't have any of this, but I'm interested in starting, okay, great, put that down. Then we kind of know about that. That leads us down the path of, okay, who do we need to link you up with first?
What you mentioned scholarship opportunities. What sort of scholarship mm-hmm. opportunities are you guys thinking of being able to offer or are able to offer now, and what sort of criteria surround those opportunities?
Right. So a lot of the main programs that we are that, you know, initially that's very straightforward for us to help individuals get involved with. Those are those UT Ag Extension programs, like I mentioned before, like Farming Fundamentals is one that's kind of the beginning of farming. It exposes you to different parts of it. The New Farmers Academy is another one, and that's a 9-month program, one day a month, that you go break networking opportunity and you get to learn about different aspects of agriculture all the way to the to master's classes. So like master small ruminants, master beef, and those certifications not only teach you more in depth in those areas, but like I mentioned before, they also help with cost share programs through the state of Tennessee. But we are open to you know, private or third party scholarships as well. I mean, what it is not, it is not a scholarship to attend a 4-year university. That's not the intent. It's looking at these classes that provide experience, these shorter term classes that provide a specialized experience in the field that they're interested in.
And okay, so these are access to or opportunities to participate in educational type classes. The Soil Health Academy, I think, is a good example of this, that has these classes that you can participate for, that they give scholarships for to veterans. And also what I think I'm hearing you say is that it is not like there's no opportunity at this point to like get $1,000 check to start your cattle business, for example, right? That's not something that you guys are looking at this time.
No, that is not going to be part of the grant. There's not that kind of funding that this grant is intended for. The AgVets grant is solely intended for, you know, like immersive hands-on experience.
Yep.
For the veteran.
Okay. And that also distinguishes it, because there are grant opportunity programs through the Farmer Veteran Coalition, for example, right? And there's a competition process for it, and there's a prize that's awarded, et cetera. But that's what you're offering is different, complementary in a lot of ways, but different than what that is. And so I think it's just important to point that out to folks that are listening. This is what it is, right? But this is what it's not. Is there anything, Bryce, this has been fascinating, and I really appreciate you sort of describing the details here of this. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about this program that you feel like listeners should be aware of?
No, not necessarily. I'm just, I really encourage those individuals, wherever they're at in their path, to reach out.
Bryce's progression is one I hear often on this show. A long career of fulfilling military service all over the world, the introduction of a family, the desire to establish roots, then the eventual transition into agriculture. Bryce's transition led him to two of the purest forms of this profession, family farming and helping veterans into agriculture. There were several times during this interview where Bryce said he felt like something was too difficult, like he wasn't that type of person. starting a family farm, and joining special forces were two examples that he gave. But following his deployment to Syria and the fight against ISIS, that sentiment changed. As we quoted at the beginning of the interview, it was the point at which he realized that the stress and the environment of a situation will come and go. But after enough of these trials, you'll realize that you have the strength and the capacity to be successful in almost anything that you try. I hope that can be an inspiration to some of the listeners out there who might find themselves stuck in a circumstance or in a difficult situation. It won't last forever, and at the end of it, you'll be stronger for it.
There's a tremendous number of resources Bryce describes in this interview available to interested veterans in Tennessee through this grant, the AgVols program. So if you're interested in learning more, please contact AgVols at info@agvols.org. That's I-N-F-O at A-G-V-O-L-S.org. You can also connect with Bryce directly on LinkedIn or his colleague, Charlie Jordan, the membership program coordinator, also active on LinkedIn.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Vets and Ag podcast, brought to you by AGD Consulting. If you enjoyed this episode and think other military veterans and supporters would benefit from these insights and stories, please give us a review and share on social media. You can also find previous episodes and learn more about AGD Consulting by visiting our website. Finally, if you have any recommendations of future guests who are military veterans or supporters leading the way in agribusiness, ag tech, or agripreneurship, please send them our way. I'm your host, Mike Desa, and until next time, stay frosty.